We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grand Bigs. Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Molly and Haw.
Bigs time.
The Bigs Report.
With Brad Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigs.
His name is Brad Bigs.
Brad Bigs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us now on the guest hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Biggs A!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
You know, we are picking apart yet another Matt Nagy news conference and trying to figure out what was he saying? What did he mean there? And how did he talk about that? And what did he say about the defense? It's sometimes it's kind of a word salad with Matt. You know, sometimes when he's starting to answer, he gets into this stream of consciousness thing that would make Virginia Woolf blush.
Yeah, it can be difficult to translate at times because you're needing to sort of connect the dots and read between the lines, and then on occasion, you know, it's what he doesn't say that's as important as what he does say. So when you prepare to go in there, you gotta know the lay of the land. You gotta have a feel for what's going on, and then you've got to pay careful attention, when he's making a left-hand turn, you could make a right, and all of a sudden you've lost him. You know what I mean?
Do you think? Yeah, I definitely know what you mean. Everybody in Chicago knows what you mean, because every Monday it feels like we're on another odyssey with Matt Nagy. They should kind of get a sponsor for that. When you look at the Bears, what they do well, Brad, obviously they've got running backs that are pretty good. They got an offensive line that blocks the run very well. We've been here before. What does that – is he reluctant to accept that? Is that why he talks around the issue? Or I guess offensively, do you expect many changes in the approach this week?
Well, I think they're going to have to open things up a little bit this week to go against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The strength of the Bears offense right now, which is running the football, and they're top 10 in the league running the ball. Okay. The strength of that offense, it will be going against the strength of the Tampa Bay defense. So, you know, what the Bucs do really well on defense, they stop the run. They're giving up less than 55 yards a game rushing. They're second in the league in yards per attempt. They've got Vita Vea, who suffered a fractured ankle in that game at Soldier Field last season, and Ndamukong Suh. They're going to have a very difficult time moving those guys off the ball. And so how do you go at this Buccaneers defense? Well, they've got Carlton Davis and Sean Murphy Bunting, two cornerbacks on injured reserve right now. Richard Sherman will not go on IR, but he's got a hamstring and will not play in the game on Sunday. They're hopeful to get Antoine Winfield, the second-year safety back. He's missed a couple games with a concussion. every starter in the secondary has missed time because of injuries this season. So if you want to go with the Bucs, you go at them throwing the ball a little bit anyway. So you got to turn Justin Fields loose, because what they're currently doing and getting them a couple touchdowns a game, 14, 17, even if they could get to 20, I don't think that's going to get the job done against Tom Brady, guys. Do you?
No.
Not a chance. The problem is that, you know, I've said this before. I think one of the great things Justin Fields has done is hang on to the ball and not turn the ball over.
Yes.
But unfortunately, with rookie quarterbacks, there are multiple interception games out there. They're waiting to find you. And I just don't know that he's ready to read a defense and to do that sort of thing. Brad, we don't see explosive plays out of this offense, and we spend a lot of time talking about that idea. Why not? Well, you know, maybe they don't have explosive players. Who's the explosive player on this team?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's the mystery wrapped inside an enigma for Matt Nagy and his coaches right now, is trying to unlock explosive plays in the offense. Now, I'm going to give them credit in that they've, you know, run the ball for 471 yards, and they've got 5 rushing touchdowns in the last 3 games. I didn't know that this unit had that in them. I didn't know that they could remain committed to the running game, and they have. What they've got to do, and they've been unable to at this point, is develop a play-action passing game off that running threat. The threat is there. They've put it on tape. They've had success with it. They've used multiple running backs. It's working. They can chew up some yardage on the ground. They have been unable to kind of marry a play-action passing game with that yet to get those shots over the top. We saw tiny glimpses of it against the Packers in terms of some downfield throws. You saw Cole Kmet, guys, with that catch over the middle. And I think we talked about it, or I certainly heard you guys talking about a career high in yardage for Cole with 49 yards. They've got more tight ends on the field because they're running more 12 personnel, more 13 personnel in this sort of philosophical shift to run the football more. So since you've got those guys on the field more, throw the ball to them more too. Entering week 7, maybe it's a good time for Jimmy Graham to get catch number 2 on the season. Start utilizing those guys. Those are quarterback friendly throws. And I'm not just, this isn't something you can just pile on the coaches and say they're totally incompetent because they haven't gotten these guys the ball. There's a lot of guys in the offense that don't feel like they're getting the ball. It's something you go through when you've got a young quarterback. It's something you go through when you have committed to the run, but they better be able to respond with the passing game against the Bucs, because I'm telling you guys, you look at this matchup on paper, and it is it's a bad matchup for the Chicago Bears, in my opinion.
It's a bad matchup for everybody. I mean, the Bucs are the rare Super Bowl champion that have gotten better a season later. Brad, though, look at Justin Fields and the fact, I think Mully mentioned earlier, second most sacks among quarterbacks, second most sacked quarterback in the NFL. We know how long he's holding on to the football. How are the Bears addressing that? How big of a concern is that? Because you wonder, if is it on him? Is it on the offensive line? Is it a combination of both?
Well, it's everything. It's the receivers not getting open at times. It's, you know, it's the total package. It's the play call at times. I mean, it's literally everything. It's not just Fields. It's not just Juan Castillo's guys on the offensive line. I mean, it's the total package there, and it's all got to kind of mix together. And Matt talked about that a little bit yesterday, and he described sort of a fine line there, because you saw what Fields could do with his legs in that game. He had a 16-yard run. He had a 14-yard run. I want to say ended up with about 43, 45 yards rushing in that game, and that's what people have been waiting to see. The one thing we still haven't seen much at all of is designed runs, but And I think those should come personally. That's my opinion. I mean, he's got the skill set. Introduce the threat. Use it. But getting back to the sack question, you know, it's probably having a little bit more football awareness when you're in field goal range and you're near the end of the half or a situation like that. You know, I cannot take a sack in this situation. But at other times, you know, he's just got to have a feel for it and an understanding of, you know, good time to dirt it here or, you know, take a sack for a 5-yard loss instead of dropping back and making it an 11-yard loss.
Yeah, he has lost 163 yards in sacks. That
most
is
in the league.
Most in the league.
Yeah. Yikes.
That's a lot.
That says a lot about a rookie quarterback.
Sure it does.
Yeah, and you expect that. And he's only run for 102 yards. So when you talk about that athletic ability, you know, when he gets better at this and with more experience, I don't see us probably talking about this going into week 7 next season with him, guys. I think this is something that's going to be learned through trial and error. He'll have a better understanding. Is he still going to get sacked? Yeah, they all do. But I don't think you're going to be worrying about the decision-making with it and how many of them, you know, are on him and are there too many that are because of his inexperience.
What did you think of the exquisite detail that Matt Nagy and then later John DeFilippo went into to explain why Justin Fields did not see a wide-open Allen Robinson streaking across the field when it was a bootleg, a naked bootleg that was called?
Yeah, I think that's probably trying to defend their quarterback, you know, and that's something I talked to people about that Sunday night after the game, and I talked to multiple people about that play because that happened before the missed timeout, the sack that knocked him out of field goal range. I mean, he hits that play, and it's a touchdown. It is a touchdown, and everybody. I know you could probably see it on the TV copy. You could really see it in the stadium. I mean, there were security guards closer to Allen Robinson than there were Green Bay Packer defensive backs. I mean, it was absurd because it was a completely blown play by Green Bay. So, you know, his eyes aren't supposed to go there because of the concept of the play. You've got Robinson on the post, Mooney on the wheel route, and the Packers doubled Mooney on the wheel, and what they were really looking for was a high-low read between Jimmy Graham and Cole Kmet, and the Packers did a nice job of that, and so it's listening to Nagy explain it, you know, he's talking about the pressure in the face, and then he said that there was an official downfield near Robinson, and sometimes that could be hard to tell. That's another play with more experience. Even though the 1-2 read is there with those tight ends, and that's what they're looking at, you're going to scan high to low with every player you got on the field with an eligible number. You're going to see your guy on a blown play by their defense, and you're going to make that play. That the elite quarterbacks, you know, they don't miss opportunities when there's a bust by the defense for a play that's going to flip the field, or in this case, a play that would have gone for a touchdown.
When we talk about the injured list and we look at who's in and who's out, what are you looking at here? What do you see? I mean, is Akeem Hicks out? Is he just not going to practice? We know Jimmy will not practice. He never practices, Jimmy Graham. What? Any idea?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. We'll learn more tomorrow. Akeem Hicks didn't finish the game. He had a sack at the very end of the third quarter, and then we didn't see him play in the fourth quarter. I'd keep an eye on the returner, Jakeem Grant. That's a guy that they felt highly enough about that they flipped a 2023 late-round pick to the Dolphins for. He was limping outside the locker room after the game. He kind of gutted it through the game. You could see him in some pain with that ankle sprain, and they showed you they didn't have much in the return game. That's why they had to go out and make a trade for a guy like that. Otherwise, you know, Larry Borum, I'm getting a ton of questions all the time from people about you know, why isn't Larry Borum been activated? Well, it was a high ankle sprain. And I think there people think that 3-4 weeks, you're automatically back from a high ankle sprain. Some of those can take significantly longer to return from. And when Borum does come back, guys, he's going to need to hit the practice field. This is a right. guy that missed about 2 weeks of practice and training camp with a concussion. Now he's been out basically since the start of the season with the high ankle sprain. Rookie fifth-round pick needs to get on the practice field. Tevin Jenkins with the back surgery, I mean, he could be eligible to come off PUP, and he lists now. He hasn't done anything since the spring, and he barely did anything then. So the idea that Tevin's going to be a plug-and-play guy anytime in the near future seems like crazy thinking to me.
Great stuff, Brad. As always, appreciate your time, bud.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
You too.
That is Brad Biggs from the Chicago Tribune, their fine football man.
Didn't even mention Tariq Cohen, who is still out. We talked about explosive plays. Yeah. He's an explosive player, but he's not available. And he still has shown no signs, and we have had no indication of him coming off the PUP list.
That is a shocking statistic that the quarterback has rushed for 102 yards and been dropped for 163.
Especially this quarterback.
That's what I'm saying.
It's
just so people. We had a texter who wanted to know 9.05 yards on average lost per sack.
That's a deep drop, and that's holding on to the football for a very long time.
312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. Back with your calls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
That's a naked or a bootleg, right? So we faked it. He rolled to the left. And as he comes back, what happens is their safety, Amos, double-teamed the swing route, which was Mooney. So then the corner didn't go on the post. So A-Rob on that play, ended up popping wide open. But as he's going through his progression, he's reading it. He also has a guy in his face. So he makes one guy miss. And now just as he starts to see downfield. Now remember, when we're all like watching it on TV and it's bird's eye view, it looks really easy. But when you're down there and you got guys running at you and people different ways, and then there's a referee standing right next to A-Rob on the throw, you might not believe me, but sometimes when you're down there, you can't tell. I mean, it's hard when you got other guys around you. So I don't think that was the case. I think he saw him, but then he also felt the pressure from 97 the second time. So he went to step up. You saw him go to load it and throw, but your sixth sense tells you you might be getting hit from behind. So he just took off and ran and got positive yards. Again, and wasn't within his – that's not where he starts within the progression. So what he told you is correct. They covered it. He went into scramble mode, was going to throw it, and he didn't. So, that's not part of the progression. But he can make – if he wants to drop back and run around, great.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of Matt Nagy at the news conference yesterday explaining Justin Fields going through the progressions and then can't pull the trigger. And, you know, maybe that referee was a defender. I don't know.
Defending his quarterback. Explaining, yes.
Sure.
Defending. That's why we got the detail. I understand why Justin Fields postgame, and I like this about him. He was a little bit salty. He doesn't get salty, but you could tell he didn't like necessarily being asked about missing that. But it was so obvious to so many people that he was asked about it. Matt Nagy went into really more detail than you're ever going to hear from a coach.
You ever want to hear from a coach.
I suppose. What Biggsy said, though, I think is worth remembering. Elite quarterbacks, they sense that open player. They see it in the periphery, and they make that throw. One day, Justin Fields will be an elite quarterback. I still maintain that is going to be the case. These are difficult growing pains to experience, but they are growing pains. And I think he's going to be that kind of quarterback. We won't be asking these questions in a year or so. But now they're valid. I think the Bears are really going out of their way to defend their quarterback in a way that I don't know. We get it. You know, we understand what's going on here. But, boy, are they defensive.
Peoria Matt checks in. Can they hire a coach and GM that aren't weirdos?
That's borderline mean.
It was pretty funny.
I think it's real.
It's real, right? 312-644-6767. Rich is in Old Town. Hey, Rich, how are you?
Morning, guys. Love the show. You guys should be the coach and general manager. I have a couple of comments and a question for both of them. Watching the Bears and the Matt Nagy regime is, if you had to categorize it as a movie yet, this is Groundhog Day to me, with no changes. We still have a prevent offense. The only team in the league with a prevent offense. We have that. And you've got the same playbook from Nagy that, regardless of who quarterbacks, I mean, it's not designed to develop the skill sets of the roster. That's pretty obvious. I think one thing that hasn't been brought up that I really believe is they're so predictable that part of the offensive deficiency is the scouting of video and defending the Bears. They're very predictable. And as a head coach, to me, the head coach is responsible for strategy. There is none. And adjustments. I didn't see any adjustments. It's just doing the same thing over and over. I think it's a wasted 4 years. I would unload both these clowns now, and here's why. He's got the lowest, in his 4 years, the lowest point production of all NFL teams. And here's why he's wasting time. They need to move quickly. You got, by the time they fix the offense, he's going to be gone.
Right. The but defense, got, yeah, it's going to age out. DJ, right.
Yeah.
You got
Thanks, Rich.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate the phone call.
It's a good point.
It's a good point. The defense is ready to win now. The offense is in stages of development that we don't know when they're going to be ready to really be a top half of the NFL offense. Right now, there are only two teams, Jets and the Texans. Think about that. Jets and the Texans that are worse offensively in terms of scoring points than the Bears.
Wow. And remember that this is year three or four, and it takes three or four.
No, year four is about production, not promise, not potential. You have to deliver. Let me ask you this. We'll get to the calls in a second. We talked about this off the break. Matt Nagy, you believe, and I think you – or we asked a question. I think it was a rhetorical one. Would he prefer Andy Dalton if he were really given truth serum? And because of the predictability of the offense, because he gets rid of the football quicker and he's not going to take 9 yard sacks on average. And I asked the question, well, okay, Matt Nagy, he might want Andy Dalton. I wonder if you lined up 100 offensive coordinators / play callers / head coaches, offensive-minded head coaches, 100 NFL guys, start to finish, how many of them would agree with Matt Nagy if we're surmising he would?
Yeah, we don't know inside his heart.
We don't
know,
but we're guessing.
Based on the 1 week where he went back and forth and the
educated
different things
you've
heard, just it seems as if he could pull the plug on this and go back to Andy Dalton. I'm not saying he should.
No, I know. We're not saying
no.
Replace –
But
Fields with Dalton, but I think it's a good point of conversation.
Yes,
knowing NFL guys as well as you do, been around coaches a long time. How many of 100 NFL coaches do you think would favor at this point in time Dalton over Fields?
I think it's probably a higher percentage than you'd imagine. I think that it could even be like a 50-50 breakdown. It seems obvious that Justin Fields is the guy you would prefer long term, but there are coaches that just want you to get rid of the ball, that want to stay on time, that don't want any kind of a breakdown and you know a bailout and a run at some point. You know, I think there are a lot of people that want the ball released quicker.
Right, I agree with you. I think that coaches are tend to be guys who like to see what they study, what they plan, executed in the way they studied and planned it.
That's it.
And there are more guys out there than you think, because Justin Fields right now at this stage of his development is a no, yes guy, right?
Yes.
He's going like, okay, oh my gosh, it's unscripted. Oh my gosh, why is he doing that? Oh, nice run. Oh, nice pass. But you can't make a living that way. And coaches are guys who like to know how they're going to make a living. So I think overall, if you take 100 guys, you might get more people that favor the predictability a 10-year veteran gives you over the, you know, unlimited potential of a rookie.
And I think you stay with the rookie, and I think you take your knocks and you try to get better. We have a texter saying if that was Dalton on Sunday, everyone would have booed him out of the stadium.
Well,
they got 14 points with Andy
there's
Dalton.
That. There's that.
That's true.
But would you have only gotten 14 points with Andy Dalton?
Andy Dalton would defy the idea that the backup quarterback is the most popular guy in
town. Definitely. This year, in this case, yes.
It's just the reality
but,
of it.
But
no one knows Andy Dalton. No one has any kind of connection to Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton is just a guy they brought in before. Oh, they ended up getting a quarterback. Nobody was saying like, oh, hey,
no, I know.
Get the parade route
Context
going.
Is everything. Every team and every season is going to be different. You're going to have a different answer. For this Bears team, staying with Justin Fields is the right thing. It is the right answer. If they were more advanced roster-wise, if they were more complete as a roster, as a playoff team, I think we'd be answering this question differently. The Bears don't have the luxury of playing a veteran quarterback right now because they're not that kind of team. They're not one guy away. They're not one step away from being a competitive NFC championship contender.
Yeah, I mean.
So develop clearly, a quarterback.
Yeah, clearly they're not. And, you know, in case you're not paying attention, the Bears go on the road and take on the Bucs. They come home to the 49ers. They go to Pittsburgh to play the Steelers, and they come home to the Ravens. And then they have a game in Detroit for
that's brutal
for that's the hope
Thanksgiving the yeah. winless the Lions
there's a bye week before the home game against the Ravens
can't so. Wait for the
best
bye
case
week.
3-3
did you say 3-3
well, I said best case 3-3
where's the three coming from
there's four games we mentioned
yeah.
Oh, you got all the way to the, you got all the way to Detroit on Thanksgiving. I thought.
Oh, I did. I mean, I just mentioned that. That's.
I'm
the
saying that's where I got. I mean, to answer that question, that's where I got 3-3.
Who do you think they can beat, Dustin? Who do you think they can beat?
Detroit.
Okay.
I think the 49ers here at Soldier Field makes it more winnable.
Okay.
In Pittsburgh, I think that's like a taffy pull right now.
And
you figure out how to block Watt.
You know who's December 5th after that game, after the Thanksgiving game in Detroit? It's the Cardinals.
They're pretty good. Yeah.
They might still be undefeated at that point.
They're pretty good.
Yeah. That's the former Chicago Cardinals. A lot of conflicted outsiders.
The Sportsman's Park Cardinals, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be cold that day.
I'll take the football team.
That's here, right?
That's here.
That's going to be a cold game.
That's right.
So
you know what?
I'd like to go to
Kyler Murray can't run in the cold.
I'd like to go to a Bears game.
Kyler Murray cannot run in the cold.
And I bet you that
the
Soldier Field turf monster will get his feet.
He'll be frozen.
And their coach will have to wear a jacket. He won't look so strapping.
Is he okay?
He's okay, right? He's coming back.
Did he have COVID? What did he have?
He was in the protocol.
Yeah, okay. He was close contact.
But I read that he didn't get to watch the game for some reason. Did you see that? Not live.
I did not see that he did not watch the game.
I think he had a visit.
In that beautiful house, he couldn't watch the game?
Architectural Digest was in, so he had to show them around.
They scheduled a shoot.
Yes, there you go.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Dave Wannstedt, Bears head coach for 6 years.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah!
Great mustache.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause, the mustache.
Wani, hanging out with Molly and Haw every Tuesday.
Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E.
Dave Wannstedt.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. Always a delight to have Coach Wannstedt join us in studio. Dave, good morning. How you holding up?
Looking good.
Yeah, I'm doing good, guys. Yeah, absolutely. Got a little visitor. Dave Janison, my buddy, teammate way back in the Pittsburgh days, is here visiting. So we've been catching up a little bit, talking some Bears, you know. Yeah, that was, you know, it was really – how we talked about it last week on the show, you know, in that style of offense, in my opinion, you know, and I said it Sunday on my national show, it's going to be tough to outscore Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, and that's pretty much how it played out, to be honest with you.
But, Dave, 10-point game, I felt like up until the fourth quarter, it was a winnable game. The Bears certainly, you know, Aaron Rodgers did what he typically does. He wasn't great, but he was good enough, and he made the plays when he needed to. But did you feel like the Bears were in a position up until that fourth quarter drive to win that football game?
I did. You know, and Justin Fields, you know, I thought the running game, you got to give that offensive line credit. You really do. You know, with a couple backs banged up and down to their third team back, I mean, I thought they did a very admirable job of running the ball. You know, the passing game, I think they're still trying to figure out what they want to do. You know, I'm still – they definitely want to commit to the run, but the play-action pass off of the identical runs, that's how you're going to get big plays. The Bears need to somehow generate – those crossing routes are great. Fields is going to hit some, he's going to miss some. But how you beat the Packers, you're going to have to score 28 points. I don't care who you are. And the only way to score points in this league, unless you got Derrick Henry back there.
28 points.
Well, no, I'm telling you.
We figured 24, but right?
I know. It's like Either way. That sounds realistic and reasonable. With the Bears, it's unrealistic and unreasonable.
Yeah, against Green Bay, but that's – now, if you're playing a team maybe like Tennessee that's going to play it close to the vest, use them for an example, all of a sudden you can get away with scoring 20 and winning, but not Aaron Rodgers. And I don't know. To me, it looks like you got to get some big plays. The only way you're going to get big plays, you're not going to get them on third and long, throwing a jump ball down the field. That's not going to win for you consistently. You've got to set up your play-action passes that look identical to the runs and get the defense to commit and get somebody behind them and make a play. That's where they're at right now, in my opinion, on offense.
So they managed 14 points in that game. They had two 80-yard drives.
Yeah,
nice. You want a team that needs to drive 80 yards to score. You want to play a team like that because it's a very difficult thing to do. They managed to do it twice in a game. They have no explosive plays, as you mentioned.
Yep.
So when they had four trips inside Green Bay's territory, and they end up having to punt on pretty much all four of them. You have to kick field goals. If you're a team that can't score, and you just can't make a mistake. You can't make an error. You can't take a couple sacks. You can't, whatever it might be, you can't get yourself out of field goal range. You've got to figure out a way. If you get four field goals, you win that game, as crazy as that sounds. But it's impossible to play a perfect game, and that's what you have to do when you're going against a guy like Rodgers, and the only way you can score is by marching down the field.
Yeah, the other thing it's missing too, I mentioned the play act, and they're running, and for our listeners, you got to understand there's a difference between calling a play action pass that does not resemble a running game, a running play that you've run the entire game. You're not going to trick anybody on that, as compared to running a play action pass, in my mind, off the same action that you're running the ball with. That's when you get it. I think we got to improve on that. We got to get that going. And then the other thing is the quarterback runs. I'm still not seeing enough quarterback run pass option stuff that gives this kid a chance. Now, maybe he can't do it, you know, no one wants to say it. Nobody wants, you know, but
if he can't do it, what are you doing? Well, he's got to be able to do it, Dave.
For some reason, I don't want to get into my Jack Nicholson.
I'm leading you there.
You can't handle the truth.
I can't handle the truth.
Come on.
But the truth of the matter might be that there are some limitations at this point with Justin Fields. You know, the fans, they're going to blame everything on Nagy, and they're going to blame everything on everybody else. But the reality is, the truth of the matter is that maybe he's not there yet and he's not ready for some of those things. That's a big part of the game, though, I think, that's missing that we all expect him to bring to the table.
So tell us the truth. Mully and I talked about it. If you line up 100 coaches, 100 of your colleagues, former colleagues, offensive-minded play callers, how many of them would say right now they would prefer to play Andy Dalton over Justin Fields? You suspect?
I suspect, the majority.
Wow.
I would say the majority.
Well, it's fairly obvious that Matt Nagy's one of them.
Yeah, and you know what? And let's go back and say that Matt Nagy probably saw stuff in training camp, which we said all along. Why is he coming out so adamant about Andy Dalton being the starter and Andy Dalton's the best player to give the team a chance to win? he was seeing things and he was hearing things in meetings, in walkthroughs that we're not privy to. And, you know, maybe that is the truth. You know, that might be the truth.
So nobody wants
to admit that. Okay. And I get that. I mean, it's, cause we're looking for the future. It's almost like Bear fans are saying, yes, okay, so what? So we might have won that game with Dalton, maybe, and okay, he makes more throws and he makes better decisions, on and on and on. But we want a Super Bowl quarterback 2 years from now. We want the Super Bowl. That's our goal. And the only way we're going to get there is get this kid playing time and get him reps. And that's the path that we're going right now. So take that.
Yep. So Justin Fields is 32nd in passes attempted, okay? And he's had the second most sacks in the NFL. That's 18th time he's been sacked, half of those coming, obviously, in the Cleveland game. But that means he's sacked once every 6.5 attempts. Now he's lost 163 yards on those sacks. Dave, yeah. That's 9.05 yards every time he's sacked. He's holding the ball and he's dropping too far.
Yes, absolutely. When he's not getting away, you would like to think that a guy, you know, I remember the first game that we played the Steelers, and it was Ben Roethlisberger's first start. It was in Miami, and we had the better team. And Jason Taylor hit him two or three times and fell to his knees. And Ben shrugged him off and spun around and came out of it and made a play down the field to Hines Ward. I remember it like yesterday. I mean, it was unbelievable. And we lose the darn game, and it was all because they couldn't get Ben on the ground, you know? And this kid's big, strong, you know, so and we did see him spin out of one. You know, he did get away from one and had a nice scramble with it, but it's those numbers you gave as far as being sacked and the passing statistics, that's not going to win you many games.
So I just want to be clear, Dave, because what we heard yesterday from Matt Nagy, obviously he's going to put this in the most positive light possible. He's the head coach. But you're looking at what Justin Fields did. He came out hot, completed his first three passes, looked great. Then his final drive, he went 5 for 5, made it 17-14. So there was good, but in between there was iffy, and there was a lot of shaky moments. Which one was maybe outweighed the other? Do you think that the good outweighed the bad or the other way around?
I think that he proved, at least he showed me that he can make some decisions. If he knows where the ball's going now, that he can make the throws and make them accurately. And there's a big difference between throwing the ball hard and throwing it accurately. I saw him make a couple throws on the sidelines that were outstanding, you know, across the middle. So it tells me that the guy can make the throws. He's got the arm strength. He's got the accuracy. Now we got to just try to design plays where we can get some people behind the defense where he can make these throws and score some points. It's really, it sounds simple, but, you know, that's kind of where it's at. And it's got to come off the running game. It's got to come off the running game. I'm going to come back to my original point.
All right. If they needed 28 points to win against Green Bay, how many do they need in Tampa? We'll ask that of Coach Wattstedt next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.